host, Benjamin Levesque, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 24th episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos, and I'm broadcasting live from my home here in Harrisburg, South Dakota. Before I get to the show today, I thought I'd give you all an update on the podcast throwdown for Halos of Hope. This last Saturday, I was fortunate enough to be a guest on Ready, Set, Knit with Steve and Kathy Elkins from Webb's America's Yarn Store. It's a great podcast, one of my favorites. Things just got a little more interesting because Team Ready, Set, Knit has now entered the fray. You can listen to that podcast episode at blog.yarn.com or on iTunes. According to Nathania Apple at Pearlescence Yarns on Saturday, is when I read this, Team Knitmore Girls have a sizable lead on Team Naughty Girls and Team Craftlit as far as hats knit and crocheted. But that's just counting the hats that they've received so far. I can tell that there are lots of hats being knit and crocheted from the online conversation. So this is just an early poll that could change quite a bit in the coming months. I guess we'll see. For all of you other fiber arts podcasters that have not jumped into the fray, please consider joining the Rumble. You know, if you don't want to form your own team, join up with another team. We'd love to have you create your own teams and join us for this great charity campaign. The more exposure that Halos of Hope gets, the better. If you're curious about the podcast throwdown, I'd like to invite you to join our Ravelry group, Podcaster Throwdown. We'd love to have you help us with this campaign. And please keep listening to Fiber Hooligan. I'll have updates about the Podcaster Throwdown for Halos of Hope at the top of every show. And since we're talking about Halos of Hope, I wanted to remind you that today is the last day to get in on the Halos of Hope Stitches Works Raffle. In case you missed it, this is a fundraiser for Halos of Hope. For a $5 donation to Halos of Hope, you have the chance to win a Stitches Works package of $695 value for Stitches East 2013 or any Stitches event in 2014. Plus, the good folks at Fiesta Yarns have sweetened the pot. They have donated their Swirl Beret pattern as a thank you for your donation to Halos of Hope. So, you donate $5 to this great charity and you automatically get this beautiful pattern and a chance at winning the Stitches Works package. You can find this at knittinguniverse.com/raffle. And again, the raffle closes at midnight Central Time tonight. Okay. My guest today is a very talented man that I've had the good fortune to work with a few times in the last few years. He is the lead instructor at the Yarn Craft Academy and co-author of the 30-Day Sweater. As head honcho at Yarn Nation, he works to provide resources that help grow the fiber arts industry and allow yarn lovers to enjoy their craft more fully. He's joining us today to tell us about his work and a new project he's starting. It's an ambitious project that I think has a lot of promise. I'm speaking of Johnny Vasquez. He joins us from West Covina, California. Good morning, Johnny, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. How are things in Southern California this fine morning?
I think they're okay. I haven't been outside yet, so it's probably going to be beautiful, you know, because it's Southern California, and that's generally how it is.
Well, and how's your crew this morning? Have you seen any of them?
No, they're all at the office right now. I'm at the house, so they're busy working.
They're busy working. Well, you're working.
I think so. I hope they are.
Okay. Well, it's finally great to have you on the show. For people that might have missed it, you had me on your show, I think, about 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, it feels like yesterday, but I think so. It's been about 2 years.
That was a lot of fun. That was a video podcast. And folks, you know, you don't want to go see that because I have a face made for radio. No one wants to see my face as I talk. Just you know, listen to my voice. It's a much better experience. Trust me.
And you have a great voice for radio.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. There's me fishing for a compliment, and Johnny just picked it right up. Thank you, my friend.
But you're all definitely right about the face. So.
Yeah, well, see, he's an honest guy as well. Anybody who knows me knows that. Okay, well, let's give our listeners a little background about you. Will you please tell us your story? How did you get into the whole fiber arts world? And well, let's start with, what were you doing before this?
So immediately before I started doing this, I was working for a company called Camfell Productions, where I traveled the country basically full time, putting on assemblies for churches and schools all over the country. It was a really cool program. We do these big projection, kind of like motivational videos, and it was a great way to just travel the country. And I did that for a year before I got married, and then right after I got married, my wife and I did another year with them, and that was great because we got to, you know, go see the East Coast, and it was kind of like an extended honeymoon, you know, for that first year that we were married. But it was grueling. We were on the road like 24/7 for 10 months.
My, that sounds like way more work than, yeah.
But yeah, it actually worked out well because when I started to knit, and I can talk about that in just a second, when I started to knit, we didn't really have anything else to do. So we would, like, set up, and then we would be sitting there all day just playing the same movie over and over again. So we would sit and knit all day, and then we would pack up, and we would go find a yarn store, or we'd go find a coffee shop, or we'd go back to our hotel room, and we would just knit. So we knit all the time. We probably got more knitting done in those 10 months than most people do in, like, 3 years.
Okay, well, since you brought it up, how did you start knitting? This is a great story.
Well, I was one of those people that definitely was like, knitting is for old people. Like, I have no interest whatsoever. You know, my experience with knitting was, you know, the afghans that my grandma had crocheted, and you know, like, some of them were really cool, but for the most part, like, you know, it was kind of in colors that we didn't really, you know, care for the combinations as much, or, you know, whatever yarn was on sale at the local craft store. And so, you know, it wasn't what people who are, you know, in the really into the hobby, you maybe are more familiar with, you know, high quality yarns. You know, she wasn't using like alpaca and things like this. So I just didn't have any interest at all. You know, there was just the last thing on my mind, and I had been following this blog called Tree Hugger, which is a really big blog on sort of green living, and they talked about this Kickstarter campaign by a lady named Rebecca Burgess, who wanted to source all of her clothing from within 150 miles of her home. And the whole idea behind this was that, you know, we're so disconnected from our clothing, and this thing that is so intimate to us, we don't even know the hands that have passed through the clothing that we wear, you know, basically on our naked bodies. And she wanted to be a part of that process. So she was documenting, like, going and planting the dyes and, you know, grabbing the cotton from the cotton fields and taking that to a mill and getting that turned into, you know, cotton fabric, and taking that to a local designer who would then turn them into trousers. And she did the same thing with some wool that she got from this rancher who did meat production, you know, raised sheep for meat, but he didn't know what to do with the wool, so he would just shear them and then store the wool up in his barn. And she was like, hey, do you want that? And he was like, I didn't want to throw it away. I didn't know what to do with it. So she bought it, took it to a mill to turn it into yarn, and then she took that to a local designer who turned it into a hat. And when I saw this hat, I was like, that looks really cool. Like, I've never seen anybody knit a hat that looks like that. And the whole concept behind what she was doing really resonated with me, this idea of being closer to your clothing, more connected to that process. And I was like, that's really cool. I would like to learn how to do that. Like, so I tell my wife, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to knit a sweater. And she was like, that's really funny because you have no idea how to knit. I was like, well, it can't be that hard. Like, I'll just figure it out. So she really didn't think I was going to do it, but I was like, we're going to go right now. I was like, where do you get knitting needles at? So we went to Walmart and got a Teach Yourself to Knit kit, which is actually a really great deal. Like, it's like $15 and has two sets of needles, has like all of the notions that you'll need. I didn't know what any of them were at the time, but it's a great way to get people started because you have, you know, a gauge thing to measure, stitch markers and needle holders, like stuff I haven't even used yet I've got in that kit. The only thing that wasn't that useful was the book that came with it. Like it was, I don't think it had been updated in about 15 years. And it was talking about, you know, just these weird things, you know, the purl stitch, like I didn't know what the heck that was. And the biggest challenge was trying to figure out how to get the actual yarn onto the needle. You know, I'm just trying to figure out, like, okay, I know that you have to start somehow, but I have no idea how this works. And so I finally figured out that it was, you know, called casting on, but the instructions in the book were ridiculous. Like, there was no way I was ever going to figure out how to cast on based off of those. So I went online and found some videos that taught me how to cast on, and that's how I got started.
Well, and of course, you know, there's only one way to cast on, right?
Well, at the time, yeah, there was only
I'm being sarcastic. I'm being sarcastic. I mean, at this point, I mean, if you can become a student of nothing but casting on. You guys are really out there trying to put as many cast-ons as you can on your site.
Yeah, I think we have about 24 cast-on videos on our site now. Actually, we have a little bit more than that because we have three classes that we've done through the Yarncraft Academy that each have about 10 or 11 cast-ons in them, and we're like not even halfway through the ones that we know about. So there's a really great YouTube channel. This lady, she doesn't have a lot of views, but her name's Oftroy, Oftroy, and she's been like studying this stuff forever and has a huge list of cast-ons. Her videos are a little bit out of focus, but you can still, you know, get what you need from them, and I reference them all the time when I'm looking for new cast-ons. So.
Well, that's great. So early on, there you are, you're knitting. Of course, you know, your lovely wife said, oh, you can't do that, and I'm sure that's all the prompting you needed to go do it. You had troubles with the cast-on. Were there any other difficulties? Were there any early projects that you were knitting that your solution was, you know, the typical Benjamin Levesay solution, which is to throw it across the room?
Right, how's that Doctor Who scarf going?
Oh, see, oh, he wounds me. He knows I'm, you know, okay. So the problem with the Doctor Who scarf, and I'm not going to talk about it much, but it is boring to knit. It's stockinette, and I have this thought in my head that I'm a good enough knitter that I can sit and not pay attention to it and watch TV. Or do something else because, you know, I suffer from my own ADD. And then all of a sudden I look down and realize that I made a mistake, you know, 20 rows back, and I rip out. And then I do that one or two times. And then again, I solve the problem in a very efficient manner. I take my needles and my yarn and my knitted whatever, and I throw it across the room, and I feel a lot better about it. And that's the goal of knitting, is to make yourself
right.
Feel a lot better about it. But, oh, you can't tell me you don't have, like, you know, the scarf from, you know, down under that you just can't deal with.
Oh, I definitely do, but Knitter's Breath throwing down in the chat room against you, she says that you're never going to finish it. I think that that's a challenge.
Well, you know, this is Christy Miller from XRX. She's in the chat room right now, and she's just messing with us. But, yeah, well, but let's talk about your difficult scarf.
Yeah, so I have this scarf that, you know, when I started knitting, I'm the kind of person that's just like, oh, yeah, I can do that, you know, no big deal, even though I have no idea how to do it whatsoever. And I was looking for a really good men's scarf, and there's one, I believe the lady is Cotton and Cloud, I'm not positive, but she had this really cool men's scarf, and it's got this, like, diagonal knotted pattern on it, and it's just this beautiful texture, but the stitch pattern is, it's not complicated, it's only like one stitch, but the stitch itself is really hard to do. So you purl three together, if you can imagine this, then you've created one stitch from three. Now you yarn over the needle. Then you bring your needle back through those first three stitches that you purled once, and then you purl them again. So you've made three stitches from the original three stitches, and it creates this knot stitch. And then you keep doing this over and over and over again, and then you purl back. And then you offset them, and then you do it all the way across the row. You do this, you know, on the right side and then purl on the wrong side three times. So it's a six-row repeat, and it takes forever to do, especially when you're not a proficient knitter. And I started doing this a couple months after I learned to knit. And it's so cumbersome and so, like, your hands just get tired that it's, I probably haven't touched it in over a year, and it's still only, like, halfway finished.
Okay, but you haven't passed. I mean, is this a project that's been thrown across the room? Because I got to know, am I the only guy that does this? I don't think I am.
You know, I haven't had like a Hulk fit, you know, where I'm like, just like, you know, toss it. But I definitely hide it away because I don't want to think about it. But it haunts
All
me.
Right.
It's on the shelf. My wife puts it up on the shelf in her studio, so it's kind of like, I'm here. I'm watching you. You're neglecting me. And this is almost 3 years now that, well, probably 3 years that I've had this scarf that I've been trying, quotes, air quotes, you know, trying to complete.
So we should maybe start a, like a club, you know, passive aggressive unfinished objects or something like that?
Is there not one already?
I think there probably is.
There probably is like 10 groups on Ravelry.
All right, let's move on here. So you got into your knitting, and then you got you moved into an online presence. And what was your initial online presence, and what was your inspiration for what you did?
Well, when we were traveling, we were in Chicago at this really great yarn store called Loopy. And I was sitting there with this lady who's a police officer. She was on duty, but she was hanging out at the yarn store. I don't know why. And she was looking through this Stitch a Day calendar. And, you know, I still didn't know a whole lot about knitting and such, but she mentioned this thing that really stuck with me. She's like, you know what would be really cool is to go through the Stitch a Day calendar and knit a swatch and then sew it all up together and make an afghan at the end of the year. And I was like, that would be cool. And that was kind of like all I thought about it. And then for Christmas, I got a Stitch Dictionary because I wanted to, you know, increase my knowledge of the craft. And, you know, I was looking through this Stitch Dictionary, and I kind of thought back to that thing that lady had said in Chicago, and that also kind of connected with this blog that I was following called New Dress a Day. And so in New Dress a Day, I can't remember the girl's name who does it, but she, this is amazing. I'm so in awe of her. She would go to the grab bag at the dollar store or the thrift store and buy like these like giant muumuus and different garments, and she gave herself $1 a day for a year, and she would turn these things into outfits like blouses and dresses and things like this every day. You know, I barely know how to sew, you know, like a button on, so the fact that she could do this was just flabbergasting to me. But I was like, that's a really cool kind of goal thing to do. I'll do new Stitch a Day. And my initial idea was kind of like just find a stitch pattern and post it and then make a swatch and photograph it and put it up on there. But I was knitting one of the swatches from the book, and I could not figure out how to do this technique. So I went online, you know, to YouTube to search around, and I couldn't find the technique on it. Nobody had a video to show you how to do it. And so I was like, well, and the videos that I was finding were a little bit hard to follow. They weren't as you know, well produced as I would have preferred. And I was thinking, you know, I got an iPhone, like it's got a high definition video camera in it. Like I can just make a video tutorial, and you know, these things, they're only a few stitches like long, they're only a couple rows. Like I'll just make video tutorials of stitch patterns. Nobody's doing that. So I decided that I was going to build a video stitch dictionary, doing one video tutorial every day for a year, and that was going to help me become a better knitter. And it was a terrible idea. Like, doing video every single day, if anybody's, like, thinking of doing that, just come up with another idea, because it's really hard to do. That first video took me about 8 hours to complete, and that was to explain the knit stitch, which is, like, pretty simple to explain. There's 4 steps to the knit stitch, and it should not have taken that long, but, you know. Now, we produce 10 videos a week. We do one knitting tutorial every Monday through Friday and one crochet tutorial every Friday, and next year, we're planning on going to 7 days a week, so we will do 720 videos, tutorials. No, 730.
Well, that's a phenomenal goal, and of course, you're no longer using iPhones to video. You are you've got professional equipment, professional editing equipment, and you know, you do a good job with that stuff.
Thank you. Our team does a really good job with that. I should say I could not do it on my own. We have a great team that works really hard to produce all of that content, but we've definitely got the process a lot more streamlined, so it doesn't take us 8 hours per video.
Well, you always compliment your team. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your team?
Well, my wife and I were living in Colorado after we stopped working for Camfil, and I was doing this all on my own. And my wife was working a part-time job so that I could do this full-time, bless her heart. And she would walk to work in the snow sometimes to, you know, make some extra money. But we realized very quickly that to get things where we wanted them to be, we weren't going to be able to continue doing this with just me. So we decided to, and Lacey was tired of living in the cold. So we decided to move back to California and hire some of my family members to help out. And so my team now comprises of my wife, who always makes sure that I know that she works with me. She does not work for me. And my next youngest brother, Robert, who handles a lot of our video production for bigger events. So he does a lot. Like, he did the trailers and stuff for XRX and TNNA, which I think we'll talk about a little bit later. And then one of my best friends from when I was growing up, his name is Josh. He does a lot of our video editing, the day-to-day kind of video editing of our classes and our stitches. His wife is sort of like my personal assistant slash welcome team leader. So when you sign up for New Stitch a Day, we send out like a really nice welcome email, and then when it asks you to, you know, respond and say, hey, you know, we'd love to learn more about you, and everybody who responds, we actually write them back personally, and so Tara is the person who usually makes that first contact with people. And then we have a young lady named Janet, and she does all of our photography stuff, and she also helps out with editing and things like that. So we've got about 5 people that work full-time, and then, you know, we have a couple people that come help out every once in a while for our shows and things like that when we need some extra hands.
Well, you always speak so highly of them. I wanted to make sure that you had a chance to name them and you know, killer team you got there.
They're awesome. I mean, I couldn't do it without them, and I would never want to take the credit from them. Like, I'm lazy. So, like, I constantly am looking for people to, you know, delegate things to, and they get the job done.
At the top of the show, we talked about the first time you and I met, and that was when you were doing your video blog, Fiber Story TV. Can you tell us how you got started with that?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I started Fiber Story TV as a way to connect with other people in the industry. You know, it's really hard to get people to respond to just a cold email, you know, be like, hey, how's it going? Like, I'm some random guy you never heard of before. But when you say, hey, I'm some random guy you never heard before, can I interview you on my show, they're a lot more likely to respond. So Fiber Story TV, the concept was, you know, a long format interview show where we went in depth with industry professionals and talked about how they got into the industry, and a lot like what you're doing here. The difference is it was a video podcast, and we always asked the same 10 questions. So that way you kind of got a range of answers, but there was kind of like a consistent thread through all of them. And we still plan on reviving that show. It's kind of been defunct for the last year or so. I think we did a couple episodes earlier this year. But we have like 12 of them in the pipeline that are just, they're done and edited. We just haven't, you know, restarted that show. But we probably will begin it again at the beginning of next year.
No, I hope you do. I enjoyed following your show. Well,
the problem was we were focusing a lot on kind of the business aspect of things, because that's what I'm really interested in, and I don't know that that's what the general public was interested in as much. So I think we want to shift the focus of how we ask our questions to a little bit more get to the heart and character of the person and why they do what they do, as opposed to, you know, why they do things as a profession, and focus less on industry professionals and more people that just have interesting stories. So our last guest was a young girl who, she's like 16, who started doing something like Halos of Hope, where she was just donating half to people. And the funny thing is that she doesn't have any aspirations to do this as a career. Like, she doesn't want to have a nonprofit or anything like that. Like, she just wanted to donate hats, and I thought that was a really cool story. So that's kind of the more of the types of things we want to do in the future.
Well, that sounds great. You branched off into several different content sites now, and sometimes I get lost. For my listeners who might be lost, can you give us like an overview of all your content sites now?
Well, we have stuff that we're doing, and we have stuff that's in development. So New Stitch a Day is kind of our flagship. That's what we do all the time. And then Fiber Story, again, is one of those things that we plan on reviving. It's just, we're just not there yet. We have a new show that's going to be launching really soon called Yarn Review Daily. So we're going to be doing daily video product reviews. Now, I know people are like, didn't you just say don't do daily video things? And yes, I did, but that's also if you're just by yourself. Luckily, I have a team of people that can help us do this, so it's a lot easier for us to do daily video now. And we're really excited about that show. There's not a lot of people doing product reviews on a consistent basis, and we wanted to bring something new to the table, focusing on video content. So that show, I don't know when it's launching, but it'll be launching very soon. And then we got a couple other things that are kind of in the works that we're not as ready to talk about yet.
That's okay. A big thread that goes throughout all of your shows is empowerment and education. And you and I have had this conversation many times, but I'd love you to tell our listeners about your philosophy about education.
Well, I think that I know how frustrating it can be when you are trying to do something and you hit a roadblock. And you have two choices at the point. You can either figure out how to do it or give up. And I'm not a type of person that gives up, so I want to help people figure out how to do it in the easiest and most concise way as possible. So that's the approach that we take to all of the content that we produce, is that it has to be very clear, it has to be very simple to follow, and our hope is that even if you are a brand new knitter or crocheter, that our tutorials are easy enough that you can follow the most advanced patterns, because we just take you through step by step.
That's a good answer. Let's move on to your video production, because this is, you know, very exciting, and I've been very impressed with your work. You joined us for Stitches West last February, and did quite a bit of filming. We've seen the trailers. I actually have one of your trailers up on the main knittinguniverse.com/events page. And, well, there's two things. First of all, you do good work. And the second, that was your first Stitches with us, right?
Yeah, we had never been before. We've been wanting to come for years, but we just didn't have the opportunity or for some reason hadn't been able to make it up there. But, you know, it's near San Francisco, which is about a six-hour drive from Los Angeles where we're at. And we were like, you know what, we got to go do it. So we came up there, and what we did is we kind of told your team, treat us like we're your film crew. And so what do you want covered? We had some ideas about what we wanted to do. And our goal was to kind of create a nice video trailer for Stitches that you guys could use to promote all of your shows. And we weren't looking for anything, you know, for that. We didn't be like, hey, it's going to cost you guys this much. Like, we just wanted to serve the community. So we spent a few days roaming around Stitches, got to meet a lot of cool people, and I think the final product turned out really well.
Well, I agree. Aside from that, there was something going on with my hair. You guys did a great job editing.
You have that face for radio, so.
I have the face made for radio. Yeah, you got to keep me off camera. Put Lisa or somebody else in front, or maybe the knitters Brad or somebody. I saw your work for TNNA as well. And again, before I get into this, I want to just clarify this for my listeners. TNNA stands for the National Needlework Association. It's where suppliers and publishers meet retailers and designers. You did a great job for that show. You came in with your crew and you filmed a fashion show, and it was really great. The product that I saw online, I was proud to post on my page. Can you talk about that gig?
Yeah, so when we had posted the stuff that we did for Stitches, we sent it to the people at TNNA, and we had gone to TNNA in, I guess it would have been the beginning of February, to do some video content, and they were really interested in what we were doing. So once we had done the trailer for Stitches, we showed it to them, and they were like, we need something like this for TNNA. So they hired us to come out to the show, which was awesome because there's no way we could have gotten out there without their support. So we took a team of like seven people to cover the show. And the show is huge. I mean, it's not as big as some industry events. Like, I used to work in the tile industry, and like that show was like about four times the size of TNNA, but it's also much, much bigger industry. But there's still a lot to cover. We did about 114 floor interviews, plus we did a trailer for TNNA. We did the fashion show, and we did some other, kind of on-the-street type interviews put together sort of a, here's why people come to TNNA. And again, it was a thing where we really wanted to help grow this organization, which is kind of the backbone of the industry. It's a little bit invisible to people, to the consumer, because a lot of them don't know it exists. But this is, you know, this is where the yarn store owners go to find out about all the new product and then bring it back to you so that you can enjoy it, you know. And it's really cool because it's not like other shows where, you know, you might, you know, meet like a sales rep or something like that in the industry. Like, you're talking with the president of the company, you're talking with the founder, you're talking with the person who actually makes the yarn. The biggest designers in the industry are all there, like just walking around. So we had a hard time just covering everything that we wanted to do because there were so many things to capture. And we're going to be using a lot of that content for Yarn Review Daily in the future to kind of give the consumer an inside look at here's what's coming out new for the next season. And that's one of the features that we'll be providing in Yarn Review Daily.
Well, it was great. You know, the one that I saw was the fashion show video. The TNNA fashion show has been great the last couple of years, and your coverage of it was fantastic.
That was all our team. Like, I can't take any credit for that at all. That was Robert and his video camera people, and Robert editing it. So he, yeah, they did a wonderful job, and I think everybody is pretty happy with how it came out.
Yeah, I almost tripped one of your guys. It was standing room only in that room, and I almost tripped one of your guys, and so nobody complained about me. But no one complained about
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything negative, so you're good.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, trust me, there'll be enough people out there saying negative things about me, and if nothing else, the Knitter's Bride is around. She'll pick up the challenge to say something negative about me. So last year, I wanted to make sure that you got acknowledgement of this. You helped us with the buzz for Hills of Hope, and for our listeners who missed your contribution, will you tell us what you did for us?
Well, you know, we wanted to do something, and it was kind of really last minute. I had been meaning to do something, you know, before the buzz. And for people who don't know what the buzz was, Benjamin and Mark from Collage and Drew Imborski all basically put their hair up for, you know, kind of auction so you could, like, vote who got their head shaved. And you voted by donating money. And so I really wanted to see Benjamin's hair shaved. So I made a video for our audience. I'm guessing they didn't ask me to be a part of it because I shaved my head already. So, you know, I couldn't participate. But so we made a little video kind of, you know, poking fun at Benjamin and encouraging our audience to contribute. And I think we raised about $250, and that was in like 3 days, you know, because we did it kind of last minute. And I didn't even know you guys saw the video. Like I just thought, you know, hey, we just put it out there, and then you mentioned it at Stitches West that you guys, you're, like, everybody was watching, and I was like, really? Are you serious? So yeah, that was kind of cool, and I'm glad that we were able to put a little bit of money up. To help everybody out.
Well, I think you donated a pattern for people that donated as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I just designed a hat pattern we called Sidewinder, which is a really cool kind of, it's knit flat, but it's all done in garter stitch, and it uses short rows to shape the top. So it looks like ribbing along the side, but it's super simple to make. And so we had just designed the pattern, and we wanted to kind of get it out there for people, and so, yeah, everybody who donated got a free copy of that. So you kind of got your money back when you donated because you got a free $5 pattern.
Well, I really do appreciate your support on that.
And we're glad to help. You know, that's, we look for.
Yeah, we sort of missed it, and I think it was like Thursday morning, Pam and I ran across your video and then started playing with everybody. I mean, the week before, it's just hectic, Johnny, so, you know,
oh, yeah.
I'm sorry we missed it, you know, prior to the show. Okay, let's move back on to you. You've really stepped up your online education in this last year, and a lot of that is the Yarn Craft Academy. Can you kind of explain the Yarn Craft Academy? I mean, what I'm looking for is the educational concept as well as the. I know you've got two models, the free versus paper model. Can you talk about how the Yarn Craft Academy works?
Yeah, so we had two challenges at New Stitch Today. One was how we could, you know, kind of monetize what we were doing beyond just kind of banner ads and sponsorships, because we're trying to grow beyond what those revenue streams were bringing in. And our format is sort of limiting in the fact that, you know, we do these short videos, tutorials that are mostly stitch patterns. We also do technique videos, but we don't, you know, people would ask us all the time, like, hey, can you teach me how to knit a sock? Hey, can you teach me how to knit a sweater? Hey, can you teach me how to knit a hat? And we were like, we would like to do that, but that's a lot more work than, you know, our regular videos. So we came up with this concept called the Yarn Craft Academy, which is going to be online classes that you could go through at your own pace. You'd get lifetime access to the content. You'd get free updates. And we would put together, you know, one or two practice patterns for you to be able to test out the new skills that you learn. And then we wanted to make them really affordable for people. But even beyond that, we wanted to make sure that people would have access to the techniques on a level, even if they couldn't afford it. So we created sort of this unique, it's unique in our industry, model where we do, when we have a new class, we do a live version of the class. So you can come and watch in real time as we walk through some of the basic concepts that we teach in the class. And then we have a live chat room where you can ask questions and get feedback and get help. And it's a, you know, it's a shortened version of the full class, but that way, you know, if you're on a fixed income or a, you know, a low income or unemployed, like a lot of our demographic of people who are in the industry are, they would still be able to learn something and you know, we usually give away a free pattern that they can, you know, try things out with as well, and then if they like it and they want to take the full class, then they can purchase the class, and again, they can watch it, you know, at their own pace. They can pause, they can rewind, and do all those things that you can't do during the live version of the class. But we also have created sort of an all-you-can-eat option. So if you're like, wow, I really like all of these classes, but I don't want to buy each one of them, we've created what we call the Yarncraft Academy membership, and so you can subscribe to get all of our classes. So we put out at least three new classes every month, and all of our members get unlimited access to all of the classes that we have for a small monthly fee.
And, you know, just for the sake of making it clear to people, can you give your pricing structure?
Yeah, so our classes individually run between about $15 to $20 a piece, which we think is pretty reasonable. It's about a 2 to 3 hours worth of content for most classes, and then you get two patterns. So the patterns alone would be worth, you know, probably $8 to $12. And then the membership, we have monthly, quarterly, and annual memberships, so you can pay $25 a month. So you're getting like $60 worth of classes for $25. Or you can pay $200 for the entire year, which basically gives you like 4 months free, and it brings the cost per class down to like $5 per class. And we're really not trying to undercut yarn stores out there. Like, our goal is to help people who don't have access to those resources. You know, they don't have a yarn store that they can go to. And, you know, they have the opportunity to review the content over and over as much as they need, whereas, you know, sometimes in a live class, you know, they've got a schedule they've got to move through, and if you're not quite grasping something, like, you know, you're going to have to go look it up online again later anyway. So we're kind of helping with that.
Well, I think it's a great value. I think that's a terrific value. So I've looked at your videos, and I've seen some of your stuff up on YouTube, and the numbers of views on some of your videos are astounding. How many people have viewed your videos so far? Do you have an idea?
I can tell you right exactly like what our most recent statistic is. Between all of our classes and our Stitch tutorial videos, we have almost 1,400 individual videos. And we have, at least on our YouTube channel, about 3.8 million views, and that doesn't include people who watch on iTunes or the Roku or Blip. So I would say we're probably well over 4 million views.
That's incredible. I mean, that's so the response from your customers and your fans has been pretty positive, I guess.
Oh yeah, I mean they're singing our praises in the chat room as we speak. So
yes, including Ron Miskin, who's in there talking about how he sees your stuff. That's fantastic. I have also taken a look. You guys do a good job. You guys do a very good job.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We work really hard to do our best. So, and you know, we're a kind of a bootstrapped team. Like, we don't have a lot of expensive equipment. Like, we don't have millions of dollars behind us like other companies out there. You know, we're kind of like the underdog when it comes to companies doing this kind of thing in the industry.
Well, you know, you've always been innovative, and one of the things that I found most innovating is a project that you and your wife worked on together. You and your wife created the 30-day sweater, which is a great idea, a wonderful concept, very nice. I mean, it's just a very innovative idea. Can you talk? Well, first of all, tell us about your wife's involvement, and tell us about your tell our listeners about your wife. If you don't tell people about your wife, you're going to get in trouble, Johnny.
Okay. So my wife, Lacey, she goes by Lacey Lene, as kind of her knitting, name. She's amazing. She's a model. She works as a house model for Vidal Sassoon. So what that means is that she basically, they do her hair, and then she walks down the runway, you know, in like New York and Brazil and London and stuff. So she's got this kind of like superstar life. Like every, you know, 8 weeks, she just flies away for the weekend and does these things. She was actually on the cover of Knit Scene magazine as a model. She did 2 issues for them. And that was funny because we were living down the street from Interweave, like literally on the same block. She was working next door to them, and we ran into the team from Knit Scene at a knit night locally, and then they emailed her a few weeks later and was like, hey, do you want to model? So she has given up so much for this company. Like, we spent probably the better part of 9 months sleeping on an air mattress, and I don't know if you've ever slept on an air mattress longer than like on a weekend trip, but it's one of those things where, like, you go to bed and it's nice and fluffy, and then you wake up and you're, like, touching the ground. And then you're, like, smooshed together on top of each other and stuff. And she put up with that for months because we didn't have a place to live, and we were just kind of sleeping on the floor at my parents' house to try and make this thing work. But she believes so much in what we're trying to accomplish that she's willing to, you know, to sacrifice some of those comforts, even of having like our own place, so that this vision can succeed. And I love her so much for it. She's, you know, up with me till 2 o'clock in the morning every night, you know, working on this to make it a success. And she's pretty amazing. So in May, I'm going to transition to the 30-day sweater now.
Okay.
We talked about this idea. We've been talking about this idea for a long time, how we can take what we've learned at New Stitch a Day through creating really simple to follow, easy step-by-step tutorials and translate that to something that's a bit more ambitious, and create sort of a framework and a process that will help people, again, get over these barriers, these fears that keep them from enjoying their hobby to the fullest. And so we came up with this concept of a 30-day sweater. What if you could break down the process of knitting a sweater into 30 steps so that you can finish it in a month? Like, that would be a great thing, you know? And beyond that, we sort of took the formula-based pattern construction to walk people through the process of designing their own sweater. So we take people step by step through each decision that they'll need to make at the proper point during the process so that they can actually come up with something that's very simple or very complex but is going to fit them perfectly and be a reflection of their personality. Or they can use it to make a sweater for their granddaughter or their husband or their boyfriend. Or maybe you don't want to make it for your boyfriend because he might leave you. Who knows? But the idea was we wanted to, you know, make this process very simple, and then we turned this into an online course so that you would have video tutorials and support forums and worksheets that you could go through and get help the entire way through us. And now we've kind of took a test group of people through that from our audience, and we've taken the content from the course, and we've distilled it down into a book. And so it says that I'm the co-author of the book, but in reality, my wife wrote the book. Like, she did all 14,000 words of writing that's in the book. You know, my contribution is more, you know, we'll collaborate and talk about what needs to go into the book and maybe how things need to be worded and then how things need to be laid out so that it's an easy framework to follow. But, you know, co-author is more like an honorary title.
Well, still, I'm sure you have made decisions along the way, and some of the decisions that you made along the way for this this publication is you chose a top-down raglan, and I think that's great, but would you tell our listeners why you chose the top-down raglan?
Well, there's a few reasons why a top-down raglan is a great option for a sweater. One is that it's seamless, so you don't have to do a lot of finishing work as you go. You can try it on as you're going, so you can make sure that you're heading the right direction and you can adjust it as you're going. So if there's something, you know, going wrong, you're like, okay, this is not fitting my bust quite right, you know, we can make adjustments to help it fit better. And it's a lot more approachable to the beginner. So if you're someone who's never knit a sweater before, it's a lot easier to do than other types of sweaters where you're going to have to make sure that all of these pieces are matched in size, and then you have to match them up and sew them all together and make sure that your sewing, you know, looks good. So we wanted to do something that was going to be easy for a newer knitter, as well as, you know, it can go as far as an advanced knitter wants to take it and be a little bit more involved or complicated, so it's very flexible, and that's why we chose the top-down raglan construction.
Well, and I want to be very clear so that our listeners understand this. You're not just teaching people how to knit a sweater. You're actually taking them through a design process where, yes, they are knitting a sweater, but along the way they're making design choices for themselves. So in theory, you could have, you know, 8,000 people going through this process and producing 8,000 different sweaters
that fit them exactly. And that's another key point. Like, they can make something that's completely unique to them, not only with their design, but it fits. And that's another big thing that we hear from people is that, like, I knit this other person's sweater pattern, and I'm not saying anything against the other designers' patterns. Like, it takes a lot of work to design a sweater. Like, I've done it. I've written sweater patterns before. It's hard, and then it's even harder to then try and take that pattern and then adjust it to fit other sizes, and it's never going to fit everyone perfectly. The nice thing about our process is that we use your measurements, and then we make the sweater to fit you, how you want it to fit. So, and we've actually used the framework to design kind of a series of patterns to show off what's possible, and then you can actually take those patterns, if you get the course, you can take those patterns and knit them to fit you. So you don't have to do any grading or anything like that. The process allows you to knit that exact pattern to fit you perfectly.
Again, I think this is a fantastic idea, you know, to take one project like this, make it versatile, and empower people and make it approachable for beginners and still interesting for advanced knitters. I think this is amazing. And you've gone one step further. And so this is what we really wanted to talk about today. As of the 1st of October, you're turning this into a challenge for the entire month. Is that not correct?
Yeah. So we wanted to do something that was, you know, big to kind of announce that we have this course and this book that's available, but we knew that we didn't want to do like the traditional like promotional, you know, blog tour where it was like, hey, review our product and tell everybody how awesome it is and go buy it. Like, that doesn't really help anybody but us, and that's not our approach to business. Like, we want to help the industry grow. So we were kind of trying to devise a way that we could get the whole industry involved and that would benefit everybody. And we were talking with Laura Zander, who owns Jimmy Bean's Wool, who's like one of the biggest online yarn stores in the country and one of the fastest growing small companies in the country. And she was like, we would like to do this as a knit-along. And I was like, that's a great idea. Why didn't we think about that? So we've come up with what we call the 30-Day Sweater Challenge, where we are challenging, we're calling you all out, okay? We want to challenge you to knit a sweater in 30 days or less during the month of October, and we're trying to get 5,000 people on board to knit along with us. Now, you don't have to knit your sweater using our framework. We just make it super easy for you to do it. You can find a sweater pattern that you really want to make or have been wanting to make for a while and knit along with us. It's just we can't support those patterns because we didn't design them. So that's we encourage people to, you know, use our book or our course because we can provide a lot more support for those things to help along the way. But, you know, it's open to everybody. And we've even had a lot of crocheters who are like, I want to do this. And we're like, well, our framework's designed for knitting, but if you want to knit or crochet a sweater along with us, like, go for it.
Well, this is the first knit-along of this kind that I can actually think of where we're, you know, everybody's doing something very different. And 5,000 people is a big goal. I know that you put some resources behind it. Can you tell people, first of all, where do they go and what materials can they get to get in on this?
Yeah, well, we if you want to join the challenge, take the challenge, you can go to 30daysweater.com. 30 is the number 30, daysweater.com, and then /challenge, and that's going to give you kind of all the information on the actual event, and then on that page there's a couple links to actually join up. So it'll say click here to join. When you do that, we've actually put together a free sweater planning guide, and this is like a 30-plus page beautiful sweater planning guide where we walk you through all of the questions that you'll need to answer when you're trying to figure out how to make your next sweater. Things like, you know, what do I do if I'm allergic to this kind of yarn? Or what do I do if I live in a hot climate and I want to make a sweater? You know, what kind of yarn should I use? You know, what kinds of things should I think about when choosing colors or textures or stitch patterns? How much yarn am I going to need? And we even provide a little calendar in there so you can plan out your sweater and kind of come up with goals for yourself. We don't walk you through all the process that we do in the workbook and the course, but you can at least on your own, you know, kind of plug in what you think you need to do in order to finish a sweater in 30 days. And we've compiled a ton of tips from bloggers and yarn companies and podcasters from all over the industry on, you know, how to knit a sweater or how to approach your sweater. So lots of tips and tricks to help you out in there. And there's a coupon code for you to get 25% off of either the book or the course when those go on sale later this week.
Okay. Did you want to give that coupon or?
It's in the sweater planning guide.
Okay, cool. All right, great. And the way this challenge works is that, again, you can sign up and basically do this thing, and it's from the first – it's just through the entire month of October, correct?
Yeah, so we're basically starting September 30th. That will be kind of like our pre-kickoff. Then the challenge begins October 1st and runs through October 31st. So you got kind of like an extra day in there to finish up your sweater. The week – actually ends on November 1st. So what will happen on November 1st is for people who use our framework to design their sweater using the 30-day sweater framework, you can then submit your sweater pattern design. And all you have to do is just kind of take a nice photo of your finished sweater. And then we're going to put those photos up for a vote. And then the whole community will be able to vote for their favorite sweater patterns. And the top 12 sweater patterns we're going to then take and compile into the next volume of the 30-Day Sweater book, which we hope to publish in the fall of 2014 when we do this whole event all over again.
I think that's great. And as far as additional resources, I understand that you're thinking about starting a support podcast for this, a weekly podcast.
Well, we're going to have a couple things going on. So we're going to have a Ravelry group where people can kind of, you know, share what they're doing, you know, ask questions and get help from the community. We'll do our best to kind of pop in there and help it, out with, you know, questions that people have. We have the forum in the course. So if you purchase the course, there's an in-depth forum where we'll be in there every day helping people out. We're going to be doing weekly live Q&As. So every Wednesday night, we're going to do kind of a big Q&A where people can, you know, ask questions, and we'll be helping them out with those things. And then every day during the knit-along, every Monday through Friday, we're going to do sort of a live morning show, which is going to be a podcast that we call the Sweater Knitting Podcast. And at least for this first month, it'll be every Monday through Friday. We're going to bring on, you know, industry experts. We're going to bring on other designers who, you know, have a lot of experience knitting sweaters. We're going to be highlighting people's work. So when you share your progress on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, we're going to be, you know, watching you and those people who use the hashtag 30-day sweater, you know, highlighting your work and showing you what you're doing. We have a little more than 30 yarn companies that are donating prizes. So we'll be doing prize giveaways every week we've got some really cool prizes, like sweaters worth of yarn, patterns, books, knitting needles. Just, it's ridiculous the number of things we have to give away. Like, I feel like we have too much to give away. So we need a lot of people to sign up so we can give all of it away. And yeah, that's pretty much, that's it. Yeah.
Well, eventually there's going to be one winner. There's going to be one, mm-hmm. Highlander. There can be only one. What does the one winner get? Is there the master grand prize that the one winner gets?
Yeah, well, I should clarify that the challenge, right, there's not a winner for the challenge itself. So the challenge is that you finish a sweater in 30 days, and you win a sweater that you finished in 30 days. So you kind of get the gratification knowing that you have accomplished this awesome feat with thousands of other knitters around the world, and that's, your warm fuzzies are the prize there. But for people who are entering to the design competition, and the warm fuzzies are a good thing. That's not to diminish the warm fuzzies, I should say. But for the design competition, we are going to have the top 12 winners will all win other prizes like yarn and needles and stuff like that. The number one winner is going to get some additional prizes, which Benjamin has been kind enough to donate some really cool stuff. The number one winner will have their sweater featured in the Stitches West fashion show, which is kind of a cool honor to have. They are also going to win a works package, which I think you said is worth like almost $700.
Yes.
And so that's like unlimited access to, it's like an all access pass to any one Stitches event during 2014. So any of the four Stitches events, you're like VIP status. Stitch Sprouts, which is a really cool company that does sort of graphic design and pattern support and like pattern testing and things like that for designers, is donating $200 worth of their services. So if you're like, hey, I've always wanted to have a logo for my knitwear design, or I needed a refresh or something like that, they'll handle that for you. Signature Needle Arts, which is kind of like the Cadillac of knitting needles, is donating 5 sets of their convertible needles. So this is, they don't do interchangeable sets, but they have the ability to change your cable length between one size of needle. So you're getting 5 needles, and those are like $35 a piece. So, a ridiculous amount of awesome knitting needles and 2 sweaters worth of yarn at least right now, maybe more. But from Malabrigo and from the Miskins over at the Buffalo Wool Company, the number one will get a sweater's worth of yarn from both of those companies. And we're out of our own pockets giving $1,000 cash.
Wow. Oh, this is pretty amazing. So I'm going to be following this. I'm going to have you back on the show so that we can talk about this and wrap it up. Maybe we'll get the winner on with you.
Oh, that would be awesome. We would love to do that.
I think that would be fun. We'll do it after Stitches West and when we get through the whole process. Yeah, I'm going to have you back on so we can do this again, Chinese. So what's the next big thing that you're working on that Fiber Hooligans should know about?
Well, beyond the 30-day sweater, we're kind of we've got more that we want to do with this. We've got pattern collections that we plan on releasing. We have a series of books that we're hoping to produce because the framework's so flexible. You know, we can do so much with it, and we're hoping to put calls out to designers to use the framework to design sweater patterns. We think it's a great resource for knitwear designers because you can use the framework to design the pattern once, and then you don't have to do as much work for grading and scaling it. So, again, another tool that the industry can use to help them. We're hoping to turn this into like a workshop that we can take around the country to go to events like Stitches and such and teach kind of like a condensed one-day version of it to walk through the main points. So those are all things surrounding the 30-day sweater that we plan on doing. Our next big projects are Yarn Review Daily, which will be coming out shortly, and we're kind of transitioning our entire brand to come over under this overarching brand that we're calling Yarn Nation. So Yarn Nation is going to be kind of the community hub for our content network. I don't really want to compare it to Ravelry because we're not trying to, like, do something that Ravelry's already done. You know, we love what they're doing. We just knew that creating a group in Ravelry wasn't going to meet our needs. So, you know, we've kind of have some other ideas on how we want to be interacting with our audience, so we're kind of developing our own community sites that will have a lot of cool, interesting features. So that's probably going to be launching this next year. And we'll be doing some beta testing before then. And we also, in conjunction with that, are creating a magazine site that we're calling The Yarnist. So we wanted to do something that was a little bit kind of news-focused for the industry because there's not a lot of sites that are doing that type of thing. But content that was education and editorial in the sense of, you know, interviews and things like that, with a focus on video content and not as much on patterns. We'll still be doing patterns, but we don't want our whole magazine to be based around, you know, the release of a pattern collection. So we wanted it to be sort of something that lives beyond that. So that will be, again, launching at the beginning of next year. And I'm going to be teaching at TNNA in January. So
and
I'm going to be...
you're going to sleep when, Johnny?
Oh, I don't sleep. I don't.
Okay. He really doesn't, folks. I've actually sent you emails at 2 o'clock in the morning and had them come back half an hour later. It's amazing. No, you don't sleep. No, we have that in common. All right, well, we're getting close to the end of the show, and I ask all my guests the same question, and so I'm going to ask it to you before we wrap this up. Is there anything that you'd like to say, a final message that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times I get people that I'll give you an example of a question I get. Someone in our class that we did the other day said, hey, I'm a beginner knitter, and I want to know what cast-on I should be doing right now until I'm, you know, more experienced so I can try other cast-ons. And my answer to them was, you're never going to be more experienced until you try those things that you don't know how to do. And that's sort of our philosophy when it comes to pushing people beyond their limits. You're only going to be as good as the hardest thing that you try to do. And even if you fail at that, you'll still be better at it the next time that you try it. So don't let anybody tell you that you can't do it. There's a lot of people out there that are happy to tell you no. They're happy to tell you that you will fail. They're happy to tell you that you can't make it. You can't be a knitwear designer. You can't, you know, start a podcast. You can't, you know, start a yarn company. You can't knit a sweater. Go out there and prove them wrong, and the only way you can do that is by trying.
Well, that's a great way to end the show, Johnny. I really appreciate your insights. I appreciate your work. I'm glad that you came on the show today so that I could share you with Fiber Hooligans. I really appreciate that. It's been fun. I really do hope you'll come back and join us again sometime.
You know, it was a blast. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Talk to you later, my friend.
Okay.
That was my friend, Johnny Vasquez. You can learn more about all of the great things he and his team are doing, including the 30-Day Sweater Challenge for the month of October at newstitchaday.com. They've got several domains, but if you get to newstitchaday.com, you can basically get to everything they're doing, and that's when you're going to want to bookmark. Next Monday, my guest will be the very talented and very sweet Andy Smith. Originally from Yorkshire, England, she now lives in Ohio with her husband, two sons, dog, two cats, and 14 chickens. I don't know why she told me about the chickens, but I'm kind of loving that. She thoroughly enjoys exploring the different techniques that knitting, crochet, and embroidery present and is always eager to share what she learns with others. We're going to be talking about her fiber art story, her first book, Bigfoot Knits from Cooperative Press, and some other great design collections that she's working on. Andy is truly a delight to talk to, and I hope you join us for that show. For those of you who may have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us on our Ravelry group, Fiber Hooligans, or in our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group. Our moderator, Tammy Burke, does an amazing job of making sure we answer questions and provide follow-up to anything you might ask about the show. I also wanted to make sure that you know that I'm eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. And if you ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, I may even read your email on the podcast. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. I'll see you next Monday on another edition of Fiber Hooligans.